Amen. So proud of all of our youth and our graduates. We're just blessed to have all the young people up on stage leading us in worship. And that's exactly what we're going to continue doing. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to continue on in our worship service. First Peter chapter 1. And Gabia just read those verses for us, so we don't have to read those verses again. We're going to dive right into it. I encourage you to open up your bulletins and get out your insert and take some notes. I want to tell you about the main idea. If you're taking notes, write this down. The main idea is the second coming of Christ motivates believers to live holy lives. The second coming of Christ motivates believers to live holy lives. Think about the second coming and think about when the Lord is going to come back. Are you going to be ready for Him to come back? And every single time the New Testament writers talk about the second coming of Christ, one of their main points is to say that we should live holy lives now. And so I want you to think about the context of what this worship service is today. This is a youth-led and graduation service. Okay? And so I'm going to be mainly talking to these three ladies down here today, these three graduates, and the rest of you can listen. And we're going to apply the theme of holiness to the concept of graduation and life in college and life after college. So here's how it works, church. And ladies, here's how it works statistically, okay? This is not how it's going to work with you. God has great plans for you, but here's how it usually works with the world. According to statistics, kids leave the church after 18. Now, that's not a surprise to anybody. That's that. They're leaving the church to the tune of about 80%. They're leaving. We're not going to get into the why today. I just want to bring that to your attention. That is one of the facts that our culture has to live with. Some of them still attend church, but they've left Christianity mentally. So by leaving, I mean leaving the faith. You can still attend church, but not have faith in God. So our young people are leaving. The question is, when do they come back? Studies show that they come back around the age of 28 to 30. You say, why then? What happens in life is you get married. They're doing this. You get married, you have a kid around 30, and the parents think, oh, I would like to raise my kid in church because I was raised in church, and I want my kid to hear about God. But there's about a 10 to 12 year gap in between there where the young adult leaves the faith and comes back, if you will. Comes back to church, starts getting serious about God after that 10 to 12 year span is over because, again, studies show that marriage and kids come along that around that age. Okay, now. The word to us this morning is holiness. As Nadia so eloquently brought out earlier, we do not have a pass, a 4-year pass, ladies, a 10-year pass to not be holy, to set our Christianity aside, to pursue other dreams that the world may tell you are more important than holiness. The simple message today from God's word is there is no more important thing in life to do than to be holy. If you are a Christian, doesn't matter when you gave your life to Christ, at age 7, at age 12, at age 35, at age 50, from then on out, from the moment that you gave your life to Christ, the main goal in your life is to be holy. It's to be holy. So parents of the graduates, I want to ask y'all a question. What are some goals that you have for your daughters? I just read their future plans to you earlier. They're good goals. They're good. Go to college, get your degree, and pursue your career field. Ladies, those are good goals. They're great goals. The message for you today, though, is that is not the most important thing in life. Not even close. That's the message from God's word today. The message for you is to be holy because God is holy. Our relationship to God the Father takes second place to nothing. I think most parents, if you were to ask them, they would say things like, I want my kid to be happy and successful. Is that fair? I want my kid to be happy and successful. I want them to struggle, you might say, in ways that I struggled when they were their age, either morally, ethically, financially. I don't want them to struggle in certain ways that I struggled with. And again, those are good goals to have, mom and dad. I've got the same goals for my kids. I want them to be happy. But here's the message of God's word. I keep coming back to God's word. I want them to be happy, yes, and successful. But I want you ladies to be as happy and as successful as you can be. I want you to be all the way happy, and I want you to be all the way and completely successful. And God's word teaches us that even if you accomplish everything that I read about your accomplishments, your future plans earlier, get a great job and make $1 billion in life, you will not be as happy and successful as you could be if holiness was not your main goal. That is the main message of today's text. And I'm working from three different commands from this passage. First command is this, if you're taking notes. It is to set your hope on Jesus. Look at verse 13. This is where the second coming comes into play in our talk today and why you should be holy. This is the main idea. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully, young ladies, not on a degree, not on a young man, not on a lot of money. Set your hope fully on, the Word of God says, the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And because of this, that is our main motive to live holy lives. Verse 14 says, as obedient children. Everyone, hear me, congregation, everyone who has given their life and who has been made anew by Jesus Christ has a heart to be holy. Now again, the definition of holiness is set apart. Think about the context of Peter here today. Peter's message to these elect exiles is that they are to be different than the culture. Young ladies, you are to be different on your college campus. Not different from other Christians. Peter says you are to be different from the world around you. The world of lost people around you is going to tug and pull at your hearts in different ways. Peter says you are to be different from those folks. You are to be set apart. You are to be holy. You're to be different. You're to be distinct. You are to have an otherness, a distinctness about you. That is how you will shine your light the brightest on your college campus. So every single believer has a desire to be holy. Pastor Johnny Hunt, famous pastor, still is. One of my heroes growing up always said this, no change, no Christ. No change, no Christ. If a person claims to have Jesus and yet has not given up their sin and repented of it, they have not found Jesus. The call to holiness is a call that results from the new birth, is resulting from being justified and being given a new heart in Christ. And so every single believer, young or old, whenever you came to Christ, your heartbeat, your goal in life, young ladies, is to be holy. So that's the first command, is to be holy. Now, Miss Kelsey, I've got a special word for you. Yeah. Special word for you. And I can't even make this up. The Greek word for being sober-minded here is napho. Napho. Not even kidding. It's to be sober-minded. On your college campus, the first way you are to be different is to be sober-minded, young ladies, and church. You're to act calmly in your ongoings, in your walking with Christ. You're not to be crazy. You are to be sober-minded. Now, I don't know how the Fort Mill folks look at the NAFO folks, if they are sober-minded or not, but that's what the word is. Can't make this stuff up. That's what the root word is of sober-minded. So all three of you ladies, be sober-minded. Your 4 years of college is not a time to go bonkers. A lot of kids grow up in church and they just go nuts because mom's not around to wake them up on Sunday morning anymore to go to church. And they just go crazy. They go crazy morally. They go crazy ethically. They go crazy mentally. Our call, again, you don't get a four-year pass. Your call, young ladies, is to be holy. And I have no doubt that you will. Second command that we work from the text here is to be holy. Look at verse 15. I gave you a couple reasons why you should be holy, young ladies. Here's what it says. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Reason number one, young ladies, if you're taking notes, and you should be. Reason number one why you should be holy is at the beginning of verse 16. Since it is written. You catch it? Peter is quoting Leviticus, probably Leviticus 19:2, but most commentators agree just the main theme of Leviticus is to be holy. And Peter is quoting the Word of God. Young ladies, what is your source of authority? These next 4 years, what is your source of authority going to be? Is it going to be your college professor? Or is it going to be the Word of God? You see what Peter uses here? He uses the Word of God. He says, be holy. And here's reason number one why you should be holy. Because it is written. And over the next 4 years, my prayer for you, young ladies, is that you would use the Word of God, as heavy as it may be, the one that I gave you this morning. You should use it as your main source of authority in your life. And that is true for all believers everywhere. What's our source of authority? Where do we get it from? Peter goes right back to the Word of God every time. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Our source of authority is none other than the Word of God. Reason number two why you should be holy is because God says, I am holy. So here's what he quotes. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Let's stop and talk about this for a second. This is key to understand. God says for you, for all of us in the church, command, not a suggestion. If you're a believer, here's your main agenda in life. To be holy. To be different from the world. Why? Reason number two, because God is holy. Now, what does that mean? How does that benefit you? What does it mean for us, church, to be holy? What is it about God that is so special and so unique and so different that the call from our Maker is to be like Him? What about God is that command, drives that command, gives that command force and motivates us to be like Him? And I'll tell you right up front, it has little to do with God, it has more so to do with God knowing that you'll be happiest if you pursue holiness. See, the trueness of life is that you will be most happy when you're most holy. A lot of people pursue, especially in college, other things other than God, as you know. All the temptations in the world, they pursue their life, their career, they pursue money, they pursue drinking, they pursue drugs, they pursue anything else under the sun, the world does. But it has nothing to do with God. God knows that if you pursue Him and be holy as he is holy, that it will benefit you. It doesn't add anything to God other than the fact that it gives him glory, but it doesn't make God more holy. God is holy whether you're holy or not, is what I'm trying to say. It doesn't add anything to God. Yes, it gives him glory, church, when we become like him, but it is for your benefit, young ladies, why God says, be holy, because I am holy. See, God knows that we will be most successful and the happiest as we can be in life whenever we are most holy, whenever we are like him. Let that seep down deep in your souls. The pursuits of the world may make you happy momentarily. And that is the sneaky and smart design of the enemy. Are you sure that being holy and being like God will make you the happiest you can be? That's the secret question of the enemy. Are we sure? Are you sure about that? Peter, are you sure about God's word? Are you sure that pursuing God is going to make you happy? The answer, of course, from Scripture is absolutely. The things of this world may make you temporarily happy. Satan's lie is that they will make you permanently, eternally happy. And it is a lie every single time. And the older Christians in the room will all gather around you and say the exact same thing. We pursued sin. We pursued things other than God when we were your age. And they left us completely empty inside. Right, adults? Completely empty inside. I'm talking to Christians right now. Completely empty inside. So just take it from older Christians. It will not make you happy, nor will it make you successful. The happiest that you can be in life is by pursuing holiness. Is by pursuing holiness. Third command that we find. And that is in verse 17, to conduct yourselves. Let's read verse 17 again. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, here's the command, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. So the third command to you is to conduct yourselves with fear. You are to fear God. We live in a world that says, do not think about the consequences of your actions. And that universe does not exist. We live in a universe that has effect by every choice that you make. There will be results. There will be consequences, church. That's the world that God created. And when Christ comes back, there will be no partiality. And this is, goes back to the main idea that believers anticipating the second coming of Christ should live holy lives now, because we have a judgment coming. This is why we don't get a 4-year pass or a 10-year pass to skip church and to forget about God for 10 years. That's not the way it works. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again and that he will judge all of our actions motivates us, or should motivate us, to live holy lives now. Should it not? This is where we are at. God the Father judges. Don't miss the language. God the Father judges. Peter does not say God the judge judges. God the Father, your Father, will judge you. So you have Father and you have a judge. God's going to wear two hats. He's got two hats, church, not one. The world will tell you, and they're not reading their Bible, that God is only a loving God, Father, and will not also be your judge. And that's not what Scripture teaches. Your Father who loves you and is gentle and compassionate is also righteous judge. Two hats. Two hats worn by the same man. And the text here today, the warning for us today, is live in fear throughout the time of your exile. And it's taken me years to figure this out because I'm hard-headed. But I guess my next point is don't be like Pastor Matt when I was your age. But the reality of it is that you will probably learn the hard way in life. But I don't want you to. And you certainly don't have to. But we learn by mistakes. I did not fear God enough when I was y'all's age. I just didn't. And maybe many of you will claim the same non-fear of God whenever you were 18. We were taught that in Scripture, if you grew up in church. But frankly, I didn't fear God enough. God had not at my life in that moment struck me with his fear. But what keeps me from sin now that I'm a little older and a little wiser is the fear of God that God puts in my heart. I am so afraid to sin now because I am terrified of my Father judging me one day. And that's a thought, those two thoughts, that God's Father and also judge. That might be a new thought that Peter is combining for you today in your mind, but it's absolutely true. A motive, not the one, there's more, but a motive for living holy lives is the fear of God and judgment one day. And it's a blessing that God tells us this now and not after he comes. That's the loving Father part. God, through the Holy Spirit, through the writer Peter, the apostle Peter, is telling you three girls and the rest of the church, live holy lives because I am coming back one day and my judgment will be impartial. An impartial judgment. We all have to weigh our actions, don't we? We all have to consider the outcome of our faith or lack thereof. We all have to prioritize and consider what, if anything, are we putting above God? The word says, you shall have no other gods before me. We all have to weigh our actions and be introspective and look inside of our hearts and see if in your hearts you desire anything other than God and his holiness. And young ladies, you will be most happy when you're most holy. Trust me. You'll be most happy when you're most holy. You won't have a lot of friends. You won't have a lot of friends in life. Your closest friends and mentors will be that of the church. Find a good church if you're going away. Find a pastor that preaches the Word of God with small groups that you can be accountable to. When I was in college, I went to the church that had donuts on the Sunday morning. Sincerely. Whatever church had donuts for college kids, that's the church I went to. So I went to church. But what I didn't do is plug myself in and commit. Now, you may switch churches during your college career, and that's okay. What I'm saying is, if you are pursuing Christ, and if you're pursuing holiness, you won't do what Pastor Matt did. You will find a good Bible-believing, gospel-centered, Christ-exalting church, and you'll get plugged in, and you will find accountability and brother and sisterhood within the church. And that will be your saving grace throughout the time if you're going away to college. Again, your main goal in life, college or not, is to live a holy life to God. Because God knows that you will be most successful and the happiest as you can be if you pursue God in these things. Christ is coming again, church. He may tarry, he may not tarry. Only the Father knows when he will send the Son back for the second coming. And our Lord Jesus is very clear about this when he comes back. He will be Father, but He will also be Judge. And He will judge impartially according to each man or woman's deeds. So let's wrap it up with verse 21. Wrap it up with verse 21. Who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. The world will tell you, young ladies, to put your faith and your hope in 100 other things. Trust me, they're quicksand. They're quicksand. Fully put your faith and your hope in God. And whatever trials you walk through, whatever difficulties are coming your way over these next 4 years, hope in God.